All right, sweet. Welcome to the Kink Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Nolch, and this is episode 6, I think. And this is a podcast that's good to listen to while you're working. It goes for an hour long, and I talk about things, and usually tends to be political and sort of philosophical, and it's, not really philosophical, but kind of. Not like, you know, if a tree falls in the forest and there's someone there to hear it, does it really make a noise? Or something like that. By the way, I think that if a tree falls in the forest and there's no one there to hear it, I still think it makes a noise. I think we're pretty sure that. Oh no, but hold on, that's kind of deep. I get what it's saying. Because if a tree falls in the forest and no one's there to hear it, I think we'd all say that yeah, it makes a noise, right? But it's kind of saying, would the universe be there if we weren't there? You can take it on a different level to that. And that's pretty interesting, because I'm starting to think, ooh, would the universe be here if we weren't here? Like, maybe we make it, or something like that, which is kind of interesting. Like, I don't know, I think that, yeah, I don't know if the person who says that line is, I think that's what the person who says that line is referring to. It's just saying, would anything be here? Obviously, right now, if a tree fell in some forest near me, it would make a noise. I think we'd all agree to that. Even though we're not there to check. But if I don't exist, you don't exist, and no one exists, right? Maybe the world and all that won't exist. But hold on. Saying that, I reckon it would still exist. Like, if we all carked it, right, us humans or whatever, and even if we got all the animals to cark it, there would still be a planet and that sort of stuff. But okay, so I reckon we'll all agree on that. It seems pretty obvious. I'm pretty sure everything would be here if we all carked it. Right, but maybe this wouldn't be here in the first place if it weren't for us. So that's the deepness of that whole, you know, a wise person said, if a tree falls in the forest, does it make a noise or something like that? It's kind of interesting, actually. Maybe this episode, because nothing's planned in this show. It's very casual and relaxed and that. And maybe it would go into some philosophy or something like that, but yeah, that's kind of interesting. Like, maybe we made all this somehow. Because you know how people say, like, the secret, that idea of the secret, where whatever you put your mind to, it creates it or makes it. Whatever you think, that makes it happen. So maybe we thought of the planet and that sort of stuff and it made it happen. And then if we carked it, it would still just be here. Anyway, that's quite interesting. All right, so this is the Kink Podcast, episode 6. I drink tea during it, so if you hear this noise, that's just a disgusting noise I make while I slurp hot tea, because I'm that sort of person. I just, I'm a rebel. I'm a renegade. I don't mind making slurp noises. Have a listen. And I also like making that noise as well. Somehow you just get more of the flavour. Like when you slurp it in, you just get more of that flavour coming out of it. So it's pretty good. All right, so it's got to go for an hour long, and usually it always ends up going over an hour, even if there's some moments where it seems like I'm running out of time and where it seems like I can't fill up the hour, somehow just stuff just comes up and I just start talking about it. And then when it comes to be the hour, I suddenly go, oh, crap, I have to wrap up everything, so I wrap it up, and then usually it goes like an hour and 5 minutes because the last 5 minutes is me wrapping everything up after I've just seen that an hour has ticked by. All right, so I want to do something this time around, which I haven't got around to yet because I just started going on rants about things or talking about things, and I missed out on the chance to do it. And what I'm basically going to do is I'm going to go to news.com.au and I'm going to talk about some of the stuff that's on the news. There's something to talk about. Like I said, maybe we can make this one a philosophical one, but what's there to say about philosophy? Just to let people know, philosophy is just like studying things and trying to find out, the truth of the universe. That's sort of what it is. But it's got a bit of a bad name because there's lots of, there's sort of university courses where they sort of, I don't know, teach it or whatever, and you just read philosophical things with big fancy words, and no one really understands it or gets the meanings behind it. And the people who are studying the philosophy not mean to generalise, but I don't think they're really studying it to apply it to anything and really get anything out of it. You know, like I think you should study philosophy to learn stuff, and then, well, this is my philosophy. You should study philosophy to learn stuff and then use it to become wiser and smarter and that sort of stuff, not just study philosophy for the sake of just, like, talking about it in this casual way, which I think a lot of the students sort of do. And some of the famous philosophical writers, I think some of them are, that's what they just want to do. They just want to talk about things all day and not do anything. You know what I mean? Like, whereas, you know, I think that you talk about philosophy in order to work out things, and you talk about the result and the answer, and then you apply it. Like, for example, when coming up with a decision on anything, when deciding, you look at it basically, and I know this is so dead obvious, everyone already sort of does it, but it's good to just be aware of it a bit more. You look at, does this help me or does it hinder me? You know, does it pull me up or bring me down? That's how you make a decision. And a lot of people who are drug addicts or, you know, insane people and all this sort of stuff, that's where their ability has been screwed up, because they make decisions that stuff them up, that don't help them. And then if you look at lots of good, successful people and just, like, pretty much the average person, they make decisions that help them, you know? So that would, if they're looking at, well, let's say, you know, with a drug addict and all that, they're looking at drugs in front of them, and people who aren't in good a shape will choose to take them, and that doesn't help them. But someone like me, who knows, when you make a decision, you do whatever works, whatever's good, whatever helps. You know that these drugs won't help or whatever, so you don't take them. You know, it's that simple. You know, so you look at what you're going to study at. People do it when it comes to choosing what to study when they're like you're 18 years old or something. People look at they go, oh, you know, I just finished school, what am I going to do? And they look at it and they go, oh, well, maybe I'm interested in this sort of career, whatever it is, and, oh, it pays this well and blah, 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 and I've got these abilities, and so I'll choose it because it's a good thing for my future. Well, the thing, that's cool, but the thing is that I don't think everyone does that with every decision in their life, you know? I know that what you're going to do as a career is an important thing, so I think that's why people really think it out and they obviously do it. But I feel like people don't do it when it comes to what car to buy, you know, or they don't do it when it comes to what holiday to take or if to take a holiday, or what pet to get, or what T-shirt to buy. Whereas this is my philosophy. I think everything, every time there's a decision to make, you can use this as a way of working out the decision, and it's really good, and it just leads to basically continual improvement. You just get better and better and better and better as you get older, instead of the other way around, getting worse as you get older, because you just keep on making good decisions, it'll help you more and more and more, you know. So it's really quite interesting. So if you're studying philosophy at university or just any sort of philosophy or whatever, that's what I think you should be working out the truths of things, the answers of things, becoming wise. And then if you know more and you're more clever, then you can make better decisions that can help you in the future. Like personally, I think the meaning of life is whatever you want it to be, right? But on top of that, a really good thing that it should be is to become the smartest you can and work out the most information you can and become just the most clever. And if you do that, then your life is just better and better and better and better, you know? When you don't do that, if you don't have that as your philosophy of life to just become the best you can be, then you get worse, and then you're not worse, and you make bad decisions and that sort of stuff, then you end up being like some homeless person in the gutter. Basically, it seems like the world that we live in, it's not really a safe place. We have to be honest. There's some, you know, there's some dangerous weather and there's some dangerous people out there and stuff. And so if you don't try and become really good yourself, I'm real clever, know a lot, you're going to get beaten down. You know, it's kind of like Bear Grylls and survival and stuff. If you don't become like him, you know, really good, you're just going to starve to death or the wolves are going to eat you. So you just have no choice, basically, in life to improve yourself, okay? So the meaning of life is whatever you want it to be, right? But you should also try and make it so where you can be the best that you can be. That's a really good piece of advice. And it's up to you, you know, if you, you know. I guess some people get a bit tricked because they want to just have fun all the time and then they don't want to work on improving themselves all the time. But the thing is that it can be fun to improve yourself, you know. But also, it's not saying improve yourself just all the time, constantly. Like you can still fit in time for fun, but you want to do everything in balance, you know. Yeah, so that's how it is. That's how you should live your life and that. Just try and be the smartest you can be, the most clever you can be, know the most. There's lots of secret information that the media doesn't really report on, and that sort of stuff that sort of, yeah, there's a lot of information out there that certain evil people don't want coming out and that sort of stuff. So that's why it's like, it's kind of like on an adventure when you go to start improving yourself, you'll start coming across information that's like hidden and stuff, and it's pretty cool. And you start becoming enlightened, you know, to what's going on. A big piece of information, for example, that people aren't quite aware of is that this thing that they call of called the Force in Star Wars, right? This thing that the Jedi use, where the Jedi are like, let the Force guide the aircraft, or I'll use the Force to pull that thing towards me. The Force is kind of like just another word for God, another word for like the universe. And although it's in a fictional movie, it's just true. It's true. Like, the Force does exist, and you can live your life with it, and it helps you, and it makes things a whole lot better. And see, if you don't know about the Force, because you haven't had the philosophy to continually improve your life, then you'd be doing whatever you think is a meaning to your life, like playing sport or something. Life's just a lot harder. You want to know about the Force. So, like, I found out about the Force and this, and what God could be and what this universe thing might be by improving myself. And a lot of other people who come across as well are the sorts of people who want to improve themselves, and that's how you find out about it. Sorry for that noise. So with the Force, for example, it's just awesome having that bit of information, because you'll see in the Star Wars, there's one Star Wars movie where the Jedi are going along, and they're going along in like some aircraft or something, and they don't quite know where they are, and one of them goes, just let the Force guide you or whatever, so they just cruise along and just let the craft go wherever they want to go, or turn whatever corner they feel like, because it's like somehow the universe just works out and it takes you where you got to go. And so that's using the Force. It's like almost like using God or something. So I use that every day, like just all the time, that sort of idea. Like I'll be doing a similar thing where I'll be driving or something. I wouldn't really know where to go, and I'll go, oh, I think it might be this way. And I kind of almost go like, you know, let the Force guide me, or I just go, it'll work out, and just, like, go, and then go along, and then it works out. And then sometimes, when you let the Force guide you, sometimes you hit something bad, and you go, well, the Force didn't work, and then suddenly, that bad thing turns out to be a good thing, and you're like, oh, that's awesome. How good's that? You know, like, it's good. You're like, it always turns out to be good. Like, the amount of times I hit into, like, stops, I call them, I'm trying to do something and I hit stop, like a barrier, you know, a problem. Like, for example, like, let's say I'm putting a railing in, right, a barrier or something, like building a barrier or something, and I get the materials and I go and I look at it and I go, oh crap, I measured the thing wrong. Oh, and you suddenly think, oh, the universe, the force has let me down. And then you look at it again and then you suddenly go, this happened to me yesterday, and you look at it and you go, oh, hold on. Oh, no, that's good I made that mistake, because now I can put this in like that and that's actually makes the railing better. And you're like, that's the force or whatever. That's like the universe just giving me answers and solutions and stuff and just leaving up to it's just really interesting because things always work out. Like, I'm at that stage, right, where I could smash my car and I would be like, this is a good thing. Because I know it sounds crazy, but, I mean, it's just too many things have happened so many times where I get into a bad situation and I think it's not good and then it turns out to be good in the long run and I go, wow. The only difference between now that I find out about the Force and before when I didn't find out about the Force or the God or whatever, or some sort of universe thing, there's science call it like some integrated field thing, Owen. And like Einstein believed in God as well. It's just the same words to describe the same sort of thing, you know? Everyone just has different words for it because we're all just trying to work out what it is. Anyway, so years ago, I think if I got into bad situations, months or years later, I would see how it was a good thing, right? Like, for example, you get fired from a job that was not the right job for you anyway. And then later on, you see how it was a good thing. But now, I've found out this information, right, that it always turns out to be good. It's interesting, it literally is the case. Whenever anything bad happens, now it's kind of cool because now the good result happens way faster. Like, it doesn't just happen a day later. Like, I think if I look back on it, I literally noticed how it was like, it cut down from like being something bad happened, then years later something good would happen from that, and then it ended up being months, and then it ended up being weeks, and then days, and then literally now, then hours, and literally now it's like minutes. I've got it down to that level. I mean, it's so interesting. It's like, I'll be, what can I say? Trying to think of something that happened today. Like I said, with the barrier thing, right? So I suddenly looked and I saw how it was like, oh, bad, blah, blah, blah. And so for 1 or 2 minutes, I was looking, thinking about the barrier and it was bad. And then I realized how it was a good thing that this mistake had happened. So that was a matter of minutes that the good result came from it. So how interesting is that? And sometimes it'll be like, yeah, it'll be like 30 seconds or something. Like, I'll be in a shop and I'll be looking at something and then, I don't know, someone will block my way and then I go, oh, bad. And then I'll turn to go another way because I have to go a long way to walk and then suddenly I'll look and I see something awesome on the shelf and I'm like, wow, that barrier that was there that was stopping me, if that wasn't there, I wouldn't have seen that good thing on the ledge there 10 seconds later. Like, that's awesome. And it's really cool. And when you get, you get to that point where you get better and better, and then you just get to a point where you're actually pretty chilled all the time, because whenever anything bad happens, like your barbecue could catch on fire or something, you're like, okay. Like, you just don't care because you know something good is coming from it. But also, I think part of the reason why I wouldn't care if, like, a barbecue caught on fire or something like that is also because I think it's... I've gotten to a level where I don't think it's good to... Well, I don't... I'm not desperate, you know what I mean? Like, if a barbecue does blow up, let's say I've got a barbecue, it blows up, and not a huge big thing, but it just breaks down, right? I just go, okay, so, and let's say nothing good does come from it, right? I still wouldn't mind too much because I'm like, okay, well, I just got to get a new barbecue. You know, that's just what I got to do, you know, like, that's how life is it's a long journey and you have to work for ages and you're in it for the real, real long run and things like that happen. Barbecues break down and it's just something you got to expect in life, you know? Whereas before, it would be like, what the hell, I have to work for more money to get this new barbecue? This is so annoying. When it's just like, whether or not your barbecue breaks down, you're going to have to work for money. You know what I mean? And so, yeah, it's not much like a help to about the barbecue thing, but, you know, if you weren't making a trip to go get a new barbecue because it broke down, you would have had to do some other job anyway. It's just a part of life. You just need to wake up to it and face it. Whereas in the past, it was like, I want something to happen now. Whereas now it's like, why make it happen now? You know, like, it'll be good if it could happen now, but it's just, you're in this for a long run. Life basically you can't have everything you want. And I'll tell you why. Because you'd end up boring yourself to death. You would just go insane. Because if everything was as easy, if you could just go, I want to be a rich, blah, 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 and you suddenly get it, and you go, I want to get this, and you suddenly get it, and I want to get that, and you suddenly get it, and I want to get some of that, and you suddenly get it. You know, you keep yourself entertained for, like, I don't know, 5 months or 5 days or whatever, and then after that, you'd just be dead bored, and that would be it. You know, you go, I want to go back to before when I had challenges and stuff to play. Have you ever played a video game and set it on the super easy settings? Heaps of people don't put on the super easy settings. You know what I mean? Life is just like a video game. It's like a Monopoly game, you know? And so you ever put a video game on the super easy settings and then you play it and you go, this is boring because it's too easy? That's exactly what I'm talking about. Imagine if just everything went your way. Your barbecue always worked. You always just had money pop into your wallet to buy whatever you wanted. Blah, 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 blah. You'd end up just completely bored of it all, you know? Whereas how it is right now is, I do agree that it's too tough. I think it's too tough. Okay, I totally think that element should be changed. It needs to be a bit not dog-eat-dog, not a bit hardcore, you know? But, yeah, so, because at the moment it's random, you can't get everything you want straight away, and it's too dog-eat-dog, so I reckon I like the random element and unpredictableness, and you can't get what you want straight away, but I think your dog-eat-dogness needs to back off a bit. That's a bit too much, and that's setting people a bit too wild, and that's why there's people who are homeless on the streets, because they've just given up, and they said, I've had it, I can't handle this, because it's too much, they've gone into overwhelm and stuff. But I think if we got rid of the really roughness of it, and that's just because there's evil people in the world, there's a certain percentage of people that are born negative and problematic, and the problem is that the number's too high, you know, like there's too many of them. It's always going to be a continual fight, and it's just like, you want to always have something there, like I was saying, where you can play a game and it can be a little bit challenging, but at the moment it's just like, whoa, is it challenging? Talk about, it's like, you know, starting a video game instead of having it at medium, the difficulty at medium level, it's like gone to completely mega advanced expert level, and it's just wild out there. So I was just talking about the force. So yeah, so if you could just do everything you wanted straight away, then it wouldn't be that much fun. And so at the moment, I'm sort of having fun with this whole force thing and trying to just make things happen. And people who bend spoons with their mind, they full on exist, and they can turn light bulbs on with their mind as well. And they can like shoot electricity out of their fingers. I'm not kidding. I've felt someone do it to me, and I've seen it. They're the people who are mastering the force, you know. And people who can talk to the dead and read minds and sort of stuff. And it makes you, after, I only watched one of the Star Wars, but it's just like, it's really onto something with the whole force thing. It's just, you know, it's not just fiction, you know, it's the truth, you know. That's why, some of these psychics you can set up a test and, the odds of them getting the answer right is like 1 in 5,000 and they'll get it right. And you're like, whoa. But then you'll see, you know, negative people who are just like trying to prove psychics wrong, and they'll do some really dodgy test that's really hard for the psychic to prove right or something. And then the one, and maybe they do get it right, but the one that they don't get it right, then they show that on TV and they go, oh, look at this psychic. They think that they've got special abilities. Ha ha ha. And they laugh at them and stuff. And they're some of these evil, negative people who I'm talking about. Well, I found out why those people are, if you come across some of those evil people in that, there's two reasons why they might be proving psychics wrong or telling you to take drugs or encouraging there to be a giant government and stuff, because giant government is not a good thing, trust me. So they're doing it to to not only further their own end. So if, like, maybe they have a personal interest in what they're talking about. So the psychicness thing, right? They might be selling a book that says psychics are bad, and you go, psychics are good. Then they go, no, because that's making their book sales go bad. Do you know what I mean? Or if they're you're saying don't take drugs, and they're working for a drug company, then they'll go, no, drugs are good. What are you talking about? And they'll attack you because of that. So they attack you because there's certain things, these negative people, there's certain things that they're making money off, right? But also, when it comes to things like saying that you can move objects with your mind, or past lives does exist, or something like that, they'll also, or like God does exist, or the force, or something like that, they'll roll their eyes and they'll attack you, and they'll think you're ridiculous as well, because when you tell them that, basically you freak them out. They just go, what the hell? You know, like they can't handle that information, because they're very, like, stressed, like, hectic, sort of scared people, and they think they have the world worked out. They think, you know, you push a ball and it rolls in that direction, and you drop an apple out of your hands and it hits the ground because of gravity, and light travels at this speed, and they've got these certain physical sciences locked in, and they think they understand the world, and they think they understand how people think, and that, like, in a robotic way, they, like, because they're quite robotic the way they think, these sort of people. They think they've got that down pat, and you suddenly say, no, you can just randomly somehow just predict the future, or you can randomly read someone else's mind, or you can just randomly bend a spoon with your mind. And when you tell them that, that you freak them out because you shatter what they... You just scare them. They go, what do you mean? People can read my mind? Or, oh, what do you mean you can... But, if someone can just turn a light bulb, and it freaks them out. Like, it's kind of like saying... imagine if you're having a slumber party or something, and it's dark outside, and there's a group of you, and you go, oh, let's have the ghost stories. And then one of them goes, no, don't say the ghost stories. No, ghosts don't exist. What are you talking about? Oh, no, don't say a ghost story. Because they think they have the world worked out, and then they suddenly, they're really scared and freaked out people in general. And so when you say, you know, ghosts might exist, and they go, oh, what? No. And they can't even... like, think about confronting that ghosts might exist. They go, no, ghosts don't exist, no, don't tell the story, don't. And they just, it's just a sign of the fact that they just can't handle hearing the truth, and it just freaks them out because they're just wusses. And, yeah, people find some things really hard to believe. And that's why you get attacked by some of these people if you talk about some of these things. And, like, I remember speaking to a friend, someone I was friends with at the time, about predicting the future or something like that, some sort of psychic ability that was the force ability, some sort of ability that's connected with God or something like that. And I said how something happened, and I go, Baba, can you believe that this happened? Right? It was like someone predicting the future, like, and it was like, it wasn't just a coincidence, it was like a definite thing, like, how the hell did this person do it? And, he started doing that thing, we started getting freaky out, going, no, just arguing back, and going, no, it's not that possible, you can't just do blah, 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 and started, because he was just, it freaks him out to think that that's possible, right? And I gave him another example. I go, no, like, it looks like this is what seems to be going on. Like, in this world we live in, these things seem to be possible, and it's pretty out there, and I don't know what's going on, but, see, because I can be quite scientific, because I don't get emotional and be biased and stuff. It's a really good scientist needs to not be able to get emotionally affected by the information that they're seeing, you know? Like probably an example would be, like, let's say someone's trying to investigate if their wife's cheating on them or something like that, and they go and they see that she's cheating, the evidence is suggesting that she's cheating on him, and the guy just totally can't handle it. He goes, no, that's not true. It can't be that. There must be a mistake. No. See this whole freakness where they're just like, oh no, you can't understand. What are you talking about? And it's because he can't handle it. But someone who can be a scientist and can investigate things can look at the information and go, well, there was the guy's clothes at the house, and there was a car out the front of the street, and look, the evidence is suggesting that she's cheating. Oh, she's cheating on me. You know what I mean? That's upsetting to hear, but that seems to be what's happening. See, that's what a scientific person would be like. But these other people will be like, well, no, she's not cheating. They can't handle seeing the information, right? So when I was telling the friend about this predicting of the future sort of information, he was starting to freak out and fight. And I said to him, I go, well, it sounds like you don't want to believe that anything sort of spiritual could exist. Like, you're not even willing to look at the information. And he goes, yes, I don't want it to exist. And so it kind of like, he kind of like told me the truth. He just let me sort of know where they stand, that they don't want it to be true. So they can't be scientific, because they're going to, like, if they try and investigate something, they don't want to investigate, they don't want it to be true, so they'll just look for evidence to prove it wrong. And that's why a lot of these so-called scientists that you'd see, these nerdy sort of guys, they're quite evil and negative, that, you know, just love university and all that. Not all the people are bad, but, you know, just there's a decent amount of them involved in it. They'll claim the goal, science proves that vaccines are good, or science proves that nothing spiritual exists and there's no past lives and that sort of stuff. Like, they try and say science, but they're not scientific at all. And they're just completely biased, and they just can't handle it as true. And they're just lying. And, but this is what's really interesting. I don't even think that they don't even think that they're lying. They're that crazy. They're literally just like the husband who goes, no, I can't, he's not cheating on her, no, it's not that, he's not cheating on her, and then runs off and goes, no, oh, and then makes a pot of food on the sink and is stirring the pot, and he's like, yes, no, she's not cheating on me, no, everything's good, and they're just like, they're that crazy. Like, you don't see that much on their outside, because they put on an act and they look professional, but deep down they're like that, and sometimes you can see them, you can really set them off, and you'll see them explode, and they'll go into that, where you actually see that this person is insane. And that is actually what's wrong with the world. There's not just insane people walking on the streets. There's insane people who are wearing suits, who look professional and are CEOs of businesses and are like lecturers at universities and stuff, and they're actually insane. But they're just part of their insanity, right? Because there's some insane people talk a lot. Some insane people can't move their body and just sit there still all the time and are numb and can't talk. Some insane people take lots of drugs and run around doing silly things. These insane people are obsessed with being the best. Like, that's literally it. So some of these same people might always have to wash their hands or something like that, or always have to talk. Like, I've come across one that just talked, like, permanently talked. It was so entertaining. It was mind-boggling to see. You're like, wow, this really isn't the same person. He was like, and like, he was saying things, but it was just so quick. And it was like, these people exist. It's really true. And so there is a lot of these evil people, that they're like professional insane people. I think that's the word to call them, professionally insane. And like, you don't notice it because they sit there and they go blah, blah, blah. But part of their insanity is that they make themselves look good, you know, and look professional and sound professional, because that's their, instead of their hands having to be clean, you know, or them having to talk all the time, they have to, they have to be the best. I think that's it. Because the person who's the best in the world doesn't ramble and look insane at all. So they work around, they wear nice suits and they talk clever and they try and have higher IQs and answer questions and seem really smart because they're trying to be the best. You know what I mean? And you come across them and you get tricked into thinking they're nice, reasonable, rational people, but they're not. And you're like, whoa, these people are crazy. And that's what's wrong with the world, because there's just a too high a percentage of them here. There's a lot of them here. I'm trying to think what percentage it is, but it's something like, I don't know, I think it's like 3%, but I want to even say more. But 3% that are actually like really harmful, that are really negative. So that's 3%, and then when you extrapolate it, when you got 7 billion people on Earth, that's a lot of people that are negative. And so whenever you're going to have governments, or whenever you want to do anything in this world, you're always going to have to continually be fighting these people, because they're too high a percentage of the population. And good people are just always going to have their hands full with them, sadly. It's just how it is. So, you know, every time that there's a new election being held, there's always going to be the threat of one of these insane people getting elected as a new president or prime minister. And because of the way things are in this world, it's actually quite uncommon for there to be a good person elected. It's a surprise when a good person's elected. Basically, that's how bad it is. It'll just continually be bad and bad and bad politicians continually, because it's just the way the ratios are and the percentages of good versus bad in this world that are going on. It's just, it's how it is. And so, you know, it's amazing that anything good happens. You know, like the good people that are here on Earth are so smart and so good and so talented. They're just punching well above their weight, and they're handling so much in order to keep everything going in the world and stuff and not have World War III. They're doing such a good job. And I think the ratio is something like one of the good people and three or four of the bad people. And the bad people are pretty switched on and work hard as well. And so that the good person's always going to be overwhelmed trying to fight three of them at one time and balance three or four of them. And it's just like, wow, that's a big job you've got. I'd say one to four, actually. One good person to four bad. So that one guy is running around trying to handle all of them. There are four guys that are just, like, talented, that are evil and insane, but work real hard at what they're doing. And you got one good guy trying to fight it. You know, and it's just like, that's why they always get overwhelmed and stuff. And it's always going to be, there's always going to be one Ron Paul to four Bushes and Obamas. There's four of them, there's one of Rand Paul, you know? But the Rand Paul, and I think everyone, if you look at what Rand Paul, Rand Paul is one of the good ones as well, but Ron Paul was like a really, really good one. And what he did was just amazing compared to all the weight that he had against him. Just him. He had so much ability to tell the truth and be a good politician and persuade the masses of people in America and everything so much and educate them so much that he just did so much. And then there's four of the Bushes and all that sort of stuff and Obamas that work hard, but they're just literally evil bastards. Anyway, some of the things might sound really out there and stuff, but that's because if you don't know a lot about things, or you think you do know a lot, it's because you get your information from, like, the evening news or something, and just a lot of it's dodgy, basically. So, yeah, there's plenty of stuff going on. So you're always going to have a, like, if you watch Star Wars, like I said, and they've got the Jedis, who are basically the good guys, and then they're versing the Sith or some shit, the guys in the Dark Hoods, like Darth Vader and that. What I'm trying to say with these ratios is there's going to be one Jedi to four of the Sith. That's how crazy the ratios are. So the Jedis are just always busy working crazy, but because they're more connected with God and they're good people and they're doing good to help everyone, they've got the majorities on their side, unless the majorities have been brainwashed by the negative people. They've got extra help, so they're always able to handle, like, they can almost hold in with handling four of them, one of them to handling four of them. Whereas the evil guys don't have as much assistance as that. And, so that's why they always punch above their weight and they do an amazing job on this earth and stuff. And so, yeah, so if you imagine the Star Wars analogy, that's why if you see it, like, on this earth, if you want to see it, like, in the same sort of way, the Jedis are always going to be super busy because it's just a planet with way too many of the Sith, way too many Darth Vaders. So they're just going to be always having to work and just work and work and beat it and stuff. And anyway, so that's why, you know, there's always wars. There's always been wars going on since the beginning of time, and there's always been, you know, problems and that sort of stuff. And when it just doesn't need to be that way at all, because it's just the ratios of people. It's like imagine a population of lions, right? And they all get along well and they're good. And then suddenly, all the babies that they're having, there's always like 10% of them that are just absolutely crazy and just eat the other lions. So suddenly, the out of the baby lions, there's always this 10% that are eating the other lions. And then suddenly, from there looking on into the future, the lions just have this crazy existence where these crazy 10% of the lions are eating the other ones and fighting them, and the lions are just always infighting forever, just for generation after generation, because there's 10% of them. So what you need to do is you need to stop this whatever it is that's causing 10% of the lions to be crazy, right? And here's the problem with Earth. We just can't stop people from giving birth to evil kids. It's not possible. We have no screening test for if kids evil. So it's just that's why we've got this problem continually for thousands of years after thousands of years of always having wars and all this sort of problems, because there's always this percentage that are born that are just crazy or insane and they're just always attacking us and ripping us down and just causing problems in the world. And so what you need to do is, because obviously we can't test a baby for evilness, or maybe that's possible in the future, but what you need to do is you need to have a good law system set up that has really intelligent people in it, like, I guess, sort of like the Jedi, right? And they're the ones who decide if people are evil or not. And then, like, because the thing is, these evil people commit crimes that are so intelligently well hidden. You know what I mean? They don't just, like, slaughter someone's neck. You know what I mean? These people commit crimes that are just really, really smart. They go ahead and they change the law so that what they're doing isn't illegal. And then they argue with fake science that there's nothing wrong with what they're doing. They're just the most biggest head fucks ever. You know what I mean? Like, they're so clever. That's why if you came up with a force like the Jedi's, who are intelligent people who get to determine, get to pick out the negative people and kill them, right? These evil people will try and take over the Jedi and claim that they're Jedi's and say that they can do it, and then they'll end up killing good people. Like, that's how you couldn't even come up with an organization like Jedi that can just kill these people, because it's not. So you have to somehow come up with a system that's like a legal system that's, well, see, this is why, this is where it's almost impossible, because just things always get corrupted with these people around, and they always stuff things up. Because you can't go, oh, let's come up with this legal system where you can spot if they're criminals, and then you lock them up, right? Well, then sharing the world with these evil people, they go into the legal system and they stuff it up and they change it and they come up with some sort of reason to change it and they create some fake terrorism. They go, we've got to change the law here. And then they change the law and then suddenly they can get away with doing the illegal stuff that they were doing. Do you know what I mean? This is what the founding fathers of America tried to do. This is why that they were the closest on the ball in solving the problem, right? Because they came up with a government system where it was like, no, you can't change these laws. Like, they locked it in. They said, this is it, because they knew evil people would come along and go, well, we need to change these laws and blah, blah, blah. And when they wrote it in the 1700s, there'd been, you know, hundreds of years of different countries and rulers and stuff, and they know those guys were really smart, and they knew what evil people did. So they said, these are it, boom, these are the First, Second, Third Amendment or whatever, these are how it is, you cannot change them, that's it, right? And then, of course, even though they did that, it's just like, it managed to stop evil people from getting involved in it for a while. Like, it took a while, but eventually, like I said, because they never give up, they're always there, they're always working, these evil people. As the years went by, the decades, and almost like 100 years, eventually they start making the changes, and they start changing it, and then eventually they just destroy the whole legal system, and they make it illegal to be good, and legal to be bad. And that's basically the situation you got in America, where if you're a good person, right, it is illegal to just be a genuinely good person. And it's legal to be a bad person. That's how crazy it is. So it's legal in America to give someone, and a lot of the other Western countries have followed. It's illegal to, I mean, it's they make it legal in America to electrically shock someone, for example, for mental treatment. And that's just destroying the person's mind. I mean, it's just ridiculous. And then the person after it, right, looks more peaceful, right? But that's just because they're brain damaged. And then they say, oh, this person's been cured of their mental illness of talking too much. And it's just like, you didn't cure them, you just screwed up their mind. You know, and that's just not a legitimate thing. So that's just like, you're just harming people. And you're getting money for it as well. You're just ripping off the government because the government are paying for this person to get electrically chopped. It's just crazy. And So, yeah, they've made it legal to do that, and then illegal to not, I don't really know, But this is where they didn't even, like, I didn't even know this. The law's so complex and stuff, but they make it illegal to not pay taxes, right? See, you got to pay taxes in America, right? And the taxes fund a government that's doing bad things. So the good thing to do would be not to fund the government, to not give your government any taxes, so you can stop them spending the money on bad things, right? But it's illegal to do that. So it's illegal to be a good person. It's that crazy. And you might go, oh, it's out there, and we need taxes for stuff. Or I'll use another example. All right, I'm just trying to think of something in America that's illegal to be a good person. Okay, so like owning a gun, for example, like this is another one that might say it's questionable, but all these mass shootings are happening because another one happened last week, right? Like apparently 90% of the mass shootings that have happened in areas where guns are actually banned. Can you believe that? And whenever it happens, right, the shooting happens, they go, see, we've got to ban guns across the nation. And it's just like, well, those were areas where guns were banned. You know what I mean? And it's just like, it's not working. If all the mass shootings are in areas where guns are banned, banning guns won't stop mass shooting. So if you want to be a good person, just hold onto a gun to protect your family, right? You want to do a good thing. You want to also have a gun to, you know, in case there's a mass shooter at your school and you want to be able to shoot them. See, there was a mass shooting last week, right? Apparently, the school, like, voted to ban guns. And they also, they had strict rule weapons and whatever. And they needed a security guard with a gun, you know what I mean? They needed that sort of stuff, but they banned it. And it's just ridiculous because then the shooter apparently specifically looked for a place where there was no guns in order to go and attack, because he knew that everyone was defenseless there, you know? And apparently areas in America where everyone's armed, like places in Texas where everyone's packing heat, they're like the safest areas and stuff. The crime rates are real low. Nobody wants to break into a house when they're scared of getting shot. You know what I mean? And I know people might think of just the idea of everyone walk around carrying guns and it seems sort of scary. It does seem a little bit scary, but I guarantee you get used to it. You know what I mean? And society across the board would be a lot safer. Hey, maybe not in Australia. Australia's a whole different ballgame to America, okay? America's got gangs. It is wild, wild west. It's crazy there, okay? So maybe every Australian citizen, if tomorrow they had a gun, that would be a bit different, okay? But we can't. They're different countries, okay? Anyway, so if you're in America and you want to have a gun in certain areas where they're banned, you want to be a good person to have a gun. It's illegal to do that, you know? That they're making it illegal to be good. I still don't think that's a good enough example because some people won't believe me on the gun debate issue. Just trying to think. Okay, this is one. If you go out, right, and start, like what happened to Dr. Tenpenny, who's over in America, who knows about vaccines and researched them, found, exposed all these kids that are getting harmed by them and stuff, and knows that there's a cover-up of the bad side effects of those things, right? If you go out and be her and just tell people the truth, right, people will push to have your freedom of speech banned. And she's probably had that, right? They'll try and say, no, Dr. Tenpenny, you can't have any freedom of speech. And you're doing a good thing, but they're trying to make that illegal for you to do a good thing. You're doing a good thing trying to warn people about vaccines and saying, hey, you know, they're making them take heaps more now, babies take heaps more now than what they did in the 80s. They lots of kids are getting born retarded and with autism and having allergy problems for the rest of their life. Hey, no, look at this evidence. Kids are just straight after getting these vaccines, they're getting bad straight after. They seem to be getting these bad side effects. Hey, you're being a good person trying to stand up and save the world and tell people this is a dangerous thing, You know, like someone trying to say smoking's bad, just trying to educate people, saying, look, this is a dangerous thing. This is way more important than smoking being bad, by the way. It's who cares that people smoke? Just let people do whatever they want. It's really not that dangerous, okay? There are plenty of people who live long and healthy lives while being smokers, okay? Yes, smoking isn't that good, but it's just like there's way worse things, like 5% of babies getting injected with vaccines, getting permanent life-suffering problems, right? Anyway, there's way worse stuff. So you're Dr. Tenpenny, you stand up and say, hey, everyone, you're doing a really good thing. And then certain evil, negative people try and say, let's make it illegal for her to say that freedom of speech. Let's say that you can have freedom of speech, but only if it's good speech. You know what I mean? Which is just bullshit. You have to have freedom across the board for freedom of speech. Anyway, so then they do and they fight it, and then they make it illegal for her to speak. So they're making it, and so then it's illegal for her to do a good thing. You know, but then another speaker will be going around using his freedom of speech, right? And he might be paid by the drug company saying vaccines are good. And so then he's allowed to do that. So they've made it illegal. They've made it legal for this corrupt dude to be bad and illegal for this good Dr. Tenpenny to be good. That's what they're doing, and that's what they've done. They've twisted everything to get on their side. Gosh, it's interesting, you know what I mean? Talk about like a dog-eat-dog world. It's just like, it's just, you know, if you just get brought up in the suburbs and you just live a normal sort of Western life and you just get your, you just watch, you know, cartoons on the TV and just play a little bit of local sport and work a simple job, you think you have, you think you sort of know what's going on, and you just think that, you know, you have no idea what's going on under the scenes, the sort of stuff and information that's going on and how corrupt things really are. And when I started waking up, I guess you'd call it, or something like that, or finding out what's going on, it was just like you have so many jaw drop moments, like, oh my God, oh my, what is God? Like, you just go, whoa, whoa, whoa. And for a period of about 2 years, I'd say, it was really heavily where every day I was seeing things in the news and reading things on the internet and really learning things and really basically finding out the truth of what's going on in this world. And you just go, whoa, 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 whoa. And I'm not a gullible sort of person who just believes anything or just believes any conspiracy theory. Like, it's hard to convince me of things, you know what I mean? Like I'm not someone who just goes, oh, just believes in God like that or the Force like that or believes in 9/11 like that. Like, this 9/11 conspiracy just like that. This is why it's so jaw-dropping, because I look at all the evidence and it takes me ages before I decide, and then I end up going, look, this is what the evidence seems to be saying, and you just jaw-drops and you go, what the hell? Like, I'm going to say something, right, that it's really out there, but you just got to say it because it's the truth. So basically, the evidence that I've seen is suggesting that the storyline to X-Files is true. And basically, I think the overall storyline to the X-Files was that aliens exist and that the aliens have something to do with the US government, you know? Like, there's secret parts of the US government that are in connection with the aliens, right? That basically seems to be true from what I've seen. Like, there's so many reports on alien sightings and USO sightings, and so many people who claim to be abducted by aliens and stuff across the whole world. Yet the news just barely ever report on them. They just do a report every really now and then and stuff. And I've spoken to plenty of people who have seen UFOs with their own eyes. I've seen lights in the sky that were the strangest things ever, that were most likely a UFO. And it's, you know, this is what seems to be going on, you know? And I didn't, you know, when I first heard one person say you can bend a spoon with your mind, I, you know, kind of rolled my eyes, to be honest, and was like, yeah, that's not true. Or I don't really believe that. Or when someone said to me, oh, 9/11's a conspiracy theory and blah, 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 I was instantly like, yeah, that's not true. So I wasn't gullible in thinking things, you know what I mean? Like, I wasn't gullible, you know? Like, it takes a lot for me to come to conclusions and then openly say on things. Like, if I see things saying global warming isn't occurring, right, I don't just, like, hear it and then just repeat it and say, oh my God, global warming's not occurring. Like, it takes me ages before I see all the evidence, and then I come out and I say, look, it looks like global warming's not happening. You know, or I, yeah. But even, to be honest, I'm even not fully sold on the whole global warming thing. But what I am sold on is that whatever solutions they're pushing is wrong. To tax people more in the government way and evil people who are taking advantage of the whole global warming thing to make money. That's what I disagree with. So I'll always probably, until they come up with some decent solutions to global warming, I'll always probably be anti and trying to promote that it's just not happening because it's just, the solutions they're pushing are just stupid. Yeah, so it's really, really interesting what's going on. And, you know, suggesting that that some parts of the US government are involved with aliens is just like, wow, but, you know, go research it. Go listen to all the people who are talking about it and stuff, and the amount of, you know, amount of people who called in radio shows and said that they've seen UFOs and just the stories they tell and all this sort of stuff. You know, boy, is it out there and interesting. It's a really, really interesting world that's going on. Yeah, like I said, it's just a bit too overwhelming and stuff. So I've got a bit off topic there. It's almost coming up to an hour, but back to what I was saying at the start, the philosophy is to improve yourself. And that's something you just always got to continually do. And the difference between sane and insane people is that insane people make decisions that aren't good for them in the long term. Like they'll buy a car that'll put them into debt, that'll cause them to have to pay a lot from when they get their car serviced in the future. And that'll make them have problems with parking, and they just make terrible decisions for their future. That's why they're insane, because they're just ridiculous. Like, I can think of like a few people who I know who do that, where they make bad decisions. Like, I'll come along, right, and I'll choose a car to work in that's good, that, you know, gets the job done, it's easy to park, and it's just one car. Someone else will come along and they'll buy one joy car, and then they'll buy one work car, right? And their work car will be shit because they spent their money on the joy car, so they have problems with the joy car and have to pay, so they have problems with the work car and have to pay to get that continually fixed. That stuff's up their work. And then they have problems with paying registration on both cars, and then they're suddenly in debt. And then next minute they've got debt collectors collecting on their office, and then they're working really hard, and you speak to them on the phone, and they're like, I've got a lot going on, and I'm just, it's so stressful. And it's just like, it's because that person's insane. That person is insane. That's the difference between insane people and sane people. That's it. Do you know how there's different... Do you know how some people say the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over, expecting a different result? That might be part of it, but the real ultimate test of whether or not someone is insane or isn't is, does that person make life choices that are bad for their overall existence and their future? That's it. I actually just worked that out then. I'd worked out that that's how you spot if someone's negative and you shouldn't have anything to do with them, whether it's work or marry them or anything like that, is do they make decisions that are just bad, that just don't help them in the future? But it's more than that. It's actually describing people who are insane. That actually covers people who are insane. I'm not kidding. So that's how you can tell if someone's insane or not. So that's really interesting, actually. Well, I mean, yeah, because it has a good use. You can use it for the whole, you know, you can use it every day, because you can, if you have a problem with some customer at work or something like that, and you know some of the decisions that are made and the decisions are bad, then you just go, well, that person's insane. I don't want to have anything to do with that person, or that person was wrong. I didn't make the mistake. They're lying because they're insane, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, that's what they do. They just make bad life decisions. Whereas someone who's good, which is actually the majority of the population, is they make decisions that help them for the future. They choose good jobs. They choose good cars, and it's just a common sense thing that they have, where they always just make decisions that help them in the future. Whereas these bad people, for example, right? They'll choose to marry someone who's just a complete rat bag, and then it was a bad decision to marry this person, right? Cause them all these problems, and then divorce, have to lose all this money. Then they get a new girlfriend again, and they've made the bad decision again. The new girlfriend is just like, what the hell? Another negative person. It's just problematic, and then it's just gonna be problems again. So they just make big, bad. Not only do they make bad decisions on day to day lifestyle, like maybe they eat too much lollies or something like that. They also, when it comes to big fundamental things in life, when choosing jobs, choosing a car, choosing where to live, they just make bad decisions. Choosing who to marry, they just make bad decisions, and that's where they're insane. That's where you classify them as being insane. And yeah, good people just make good decisions and wouldn't marry people who are problematic and wouldn't buy two cars when they don't need two cars, or just have one good car for work and then not have problems with it. And then they don't have problems. And then they're just sweet. So it's just it's really interesting, you know. And so it's now, the hour's up now. So I covered, you know, the difference between insane and sane people, and that you should always how they make their decisions, basically. Insane people make bad decisions that don't help them. Good people make good decisions that help them in the future. I covered the meaning of life, right? And that's to always the meaning of life is actually whatever you want it to be, but the meaning that you should make it in your life is to always be as smart as possible, as good as you can be, as most intelligent, know as much as possible. You can never not know enough. You need to absolutely be like a walking encyclopedia. You need to know a lot, okay? Because then you can, but not useless facts, like when did a flag get stuck onto a mountain? You know what I mean? Like no good, worthwhile information, you know, that actually helps you, you know? Information that, like I said just earlier, as in how to pick an insane person. That's a good piece of information because you can use it, you know. You need to know as much as you can. You need to be as smart as possible. And just as a general thing, you need to just work it out. Spoke a bit about God and the Force and stuff and how you can sort of use it. You have a bit of faith. You just go, let the Force go with it and it'll work out. And then things go good and they work out. And then I mentioned a bit about why there's problems on the world and why, looking into the future, there probably always will be. But one thing I didn't quite answer is when I was saying how do you solve the problem of these evil people is you have to have good law systems and good legal systems. That's why these people try and infiltrate those legal and law systems like there's no tomorrow, and they've absolutely screwed up our legal and law systems and police systems and stuff because they want to get away with doing their crimes. But what you have to be very set, no change, definite, you know. And you say if it's proved in a court of law that this person is harming them, then you lock them up for life and that's it. You don't let these pedophiles out. They get locked up, that's it. You don't let out someone who's done some scams and ripped all these people off and they're just really dodgy in that. You gather all the evidence, you collect them and you lock them up. So basically the solution to the problem is have a good law system and that cannot be changed without... No one can change these laws. It's like, boom, if you break them, then you're getting locked up. Good, simple laws, boom. And so then when these evil people come along and do their crimes, because they always do them, and no matter how cleverly and well hidden they are, lock them up when they do it. When they get caught and exposed for it, lock them up. And, that's kind of... It's still not a total solution because it's somehow they're so clever they manage to screw things up. Like what they'll do, for example, is you'll have this thing where you have it in law, never change it, and you have good, smart lawyers and court judges and police and that, and they lock up these people, right? But what these evil people are, they're so evil, they'll do something like they'll invent some drug that twists people's minds, and they'll say everyone needs to take it so they don't get a disease or something like that. And then they give it to everyone, and then all the lawyers and judges have their minds twist, and then they go, look, we need to change this law that says you can't change any laws because of this reason. And then the judges who have their minds twisted and have been screwed up by these evil people will then go, okay, and then they'll change the law. And then, bam, that's it. The door to the room's been opened up, the key's been put in, and then from there on they change the law, and then suddenly you just got all crime being legal. and they've destroyed everything. And then good freedom fighters, people like me, just get accused of being the criminals and being the nasty person just because I drive a little bit too fast in my car. You know what I mean? Or something like that. You know what I mean? Like just because Dr. Tenpenny's saying her freedom of speech, and it's hard to hear, but it's the truth, that she gets accused of being some evil, crazy person. And it's just like, that's literally what they'll do. That's how clever they are. So you have this whole system set up that's perfect, right? They can't be faulted, but then they'll go along and they'll work like nutcases and pay special scientists to develop some special chemical that can twist people's minds and destroy them. And then they come up with some clever way to give out this. This is literally what they've done. They've done stuff like this in the past and doing it right today. And they'll put out this chemical, and then suddenly the judges and the police and the courts and the people in charge of the laws have their minds twisted. Then suddenly they're susceptible to going, oh, maybe this is an old-fashioned rule and it says you can never change it no matter what in any way. Like, you make the law so different, you go, this law can never be changed in any situation, anyway, no matter what, in any time in the future. This law cannot be touched. It has to be enforced forever. And then they'll put that chemical in the mind that just, and they won't take the chemical, of course. Evil people won't take the chemical, but they'll give it to everyone else. And everyone else has gone slightly mentally retarded. And then you come up with some real clever reason, and you go, look, it seems like that they were only meeting here, and they just come up with some clever con job to cover up. And then suddenly all the retarded people now have been made retarded by this chemical, by the evil people, will suddenly go, sign it. Yeah, it's okay. You can change the law. And then after that, it's been legalized to change the law. So then they just change all these laws and make it everything bad, it's legal. And anything that's good, illegal. That's how diabolically evil these people are, and how hardworking they are, and how crazy they are. And that's probably why. That's kind of why you can never really have peace on Earth. It would always go up and then always go down in a wave. Like what happened in 1776, where the founding fathers of America came up with a good system that held up pretty good for like 150 years or something. And then it can only last for a certain amount of time before their cleverness comes in and they bring society down, they screw it up like what they've done today. And then we'll do something and we'll change it and it'll go good. Then it'll go good again for 200 years. And then they'll come along and they'll just destroy everything again. And it just keeps on going up and down with the good win and then the bad win and then the good win again. And then it's just utterly crazy. And it's like there's no... Well, as long as you always have a certain percent of the population being these sociopathic, crazy people that are evil, this is what's always going to happen. You know, there's always going to be reports on the news of war and people being harmed and all this bad sort of stuff and famines and all that sort of stuff. There's no reason why people shouldn't be able to grow food and support themselves and stuff. There shouldn't be famines. It's just there's weird shit going on in Africa for there to be famines and stuff. So that's what's really interesting. And Michael, so there's no solution to this continual problems forever, and it's just like, firstly, you shouldn't give up because there's no choice. You have to fight it, because if you give up, then it wouldn't be going up and down, it'll be going down, 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 down to just horribleness forever. So firstly, even the up and down thing's a lot better. And secondly, we can outsmart them and come up with ways of permanently getting out of this trap of them continually stuffing things up on Earth. And also, it's possible you could, you know, invent more space travel and go to some place far away that's not anywhere near them, and then you'll be all right for a fair bit of time. But again, you don't want to share a universe with any of these sort of people, because they're just like, whoa, you know. They'll leave Earth and they'll come and find you, you know. You might have a good period for a fairly damn long amount of time, but then they'll eventually come. But yeah, it looks like the founder of Scientology... has come up with, because you do courses to improve yourself, and apparently there's one that you do that gets us out of this trap that I'm talking about, where evil people always destroy things and it goes good, and evil people destroy things and go good, evil people destroy things. Apparently he's came up with some way to get out of that trap, which is really interesting, because it looks like we've found it, you know what I mean? And some of the people who have done Scientology, which is just a small percentage of the population, they've managed to come across it, but which is awesome. But we've all got to do it. We've all got to do this course or whatever that it is. And then we can get out of that trap and no longer have to worry about things going good for a bit and things going bad, and we can get away from these evil people. So how cool is that? So it's good. It looks like there is a solution. So that's what I was saying, where you go good and then you go bad and you keep on going, and eventually we'll come up with a way to break out of this so then we can beat the evil people for evil. It looks like we found out a way to beat the evil people forever. It's just it takes many decades in order for us to all fully achieve it. But yeah, so that's really cool. Anyway, so all right, that's about it for this week. And I've been Andy Nolch, the space cowboy, protecting freedom for you and me. Yeehaw!